Hello, College of Pharmacy. We're back with another episode for you. This is going to be the last one for the semester, but we'll have some exciting new episodes for you in the fall, so don't miss us too much. Today's episode is going to be all about burnout. Burnout stems from exhaustion and stress related to work, whether that be from school or employment. According to a recent study, around 62% of pharmacists report feeling a high level of burnout in their practice, and this is one of the highest rates among healthcare professionals. So we have a very special guest for you today, our very own Dean Kelly Smith, to discuss burnout in our profession and how we can handle it. Dean Smith, before we begin, do you want to tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Dean Kelly Smith. I am just thrilled to be at the University of Georgia College of Pharmacy. This is where I went to school. And so having the opportunity to be part of PharmCast is a great thing for me. What do I love to do? I look forward to the days when we can get back to college football and college sports, get back together and rally around some great activities and things that bring us all together. So thanks for bringing us together to talk about this important topic.
Thank you so much, Dean Smith, for that. And now we'll begin our conversation into why burnout is so prevalent in healthcare right now.
We hear the term burnout in healthcare a lot these days, and I think it's resulting from real classic definitions and where burnout is real versus where people are getting run down, because we know there's actually a clinical definition of burnout that has real significant consequences to it. But I think why we see it is, number one, healthcare is so complicated. I can tell you when I was in pharmacy school, just the sheer number of drugs and what we knew about the human body and disease states pales in comparison to what we know today. So the amount of information that has to be managed is tremendous. We have technology to help us with that, but technology we know doesn't fix everything, and it can actually make things more depersonalized. So we have to go faster and faster to keep up with the demands all around us. And sometimes then it causes us to forget why we went into healthcare in the first place. Most of us didn't go into healthcare because we wanted to go fast, fast, fast and interact in front of a computer monitor all day long. We wanted to help people. And so we want to have times to help people and things to help remind us of what our calling is.
So you said that it depends on kind of like the definition of burnout. Has the definition of burnout, you think, changed since you've started practicing and now, especially in the setting of a pandemic?
I will tell you that I am not sure when the classic definition of burnout was developed, but if you certainly check into our colleagues that are experts in this field, it's characterized by several different domains or elements, including depersonalization and those sorts of things, that if you go check the DSM, you'll find it as far as official definitions. So I don't really know if that has changed, but I think a few things come to mind for me. First of all, people talk more about their mental health, which is what we need. For years, of course, you hit all those things. And there's a lot of stigma and that sort of thing of that. But recognizing, hey, if you're on the struggle bus, you're on the struggle bus. Burnout classically is more than just spending a day on the struggle bus. It's when you can't get yourself off the bus. It's got depression as well as some other really significant psychological components to it. So how can you really recognize that? Then we start to hear colleagues say terms, we pick up on them. So then, yeah, I'm burned out. Well, you may be fatigued. You may be tired. I know when we think about the pandemic, everyone's burned out. Yeah, we are, but it's really just, we are so over it and we really want to be over things. But it's, you know, sometimes we have our hard days and we've got to realize that we'll talk about it, but also look for ways to get through them.
Funny how you brought out the definition of burnout, because I was looking into it and it said the high cost of high achievement. And I just thought that it's so amazing how you talked about all of those things.
Well, I think that's a good observation because first of all, in healthcare, we tend to attract high achievers, right? People who want to do more, they are driven. And in pharmacy in particular, we then attract people who understand, and then we are compelled to teach you that excellence is the only option. Any deviation from excellence will kill a patient. And yes, there is that, but there are times when good enough is good enough, not in when you're calculating a particular dose of a medication or you're compounding something, but when you are performing some activities of daily living. And I'll share with you here again, I always tell people I'm a recovering perfectionist. I can tell you years ago, before email was invented. So yes, that's how old I am, this perfectionist in me. But before email was invented, we had to type up memos, and you would take hours to type up a memo. You dare not have one single misspelling or an incorrect, like a typo in there or the wrong punctuation point, because oh my gosh, that thing was out there for immortality. And so that was just kind of drilled in your head. And so then I took that to when email was there, I would just seize over every little thing of like, I can't have a single error in my email. Now, can you imagine today if we did that with our text messaging? Talk about moving quickly, or Snapchat or whatever. We can't have that same mindset. And so sometimes we give ourselves permission to be, it's okay to relax the rules on that, but other times it's not. Well, does it always have to be that way? So we want to make sure we have a modicum of what the expectations are, but let's kind of get real and make sure we're not really over penalizing ourselves for it.
That's amazing to hear. And with that, what are some not so common causes of burnout that we need to look out
for? It goes back to something I said earlier. You never want to forget why you're doing something. When you forget purpose, or the purpose does not align with your values. And that's maybe an example where people don't often think about things. This is something I sometimes see in pharmacists and pharmacy students. And I even saw a thread on Twitter yesterday about this. So great example. Someone said, or posed the question, for those of you that are involved in professional organizations, why do you do it? Are you doing it to pad your CV? Are you doing it because you want to network? Are you doing it because someone else said you should, or do you genuinely like it? And to me, my thought was, well, if you're not doing it because you genuinely like it, then maybe you're in it for the wrong reasons. But then when I thought about it further, I thought, well, maybe you genuinely like serving an organization, but maybe suddenly its mission or its purpose becomes cross purposes with you and what you believe in. That's when you're definitely going to get burned out, because you're thinking, why am I doing this? I don't even believe in what I'm doing, or I think this is going in the wrong direction. And so I think sometimes, as that achiever in us again, we look for as much as we can do to get involved in, and we don't think about why. How does it connect with what we enjoy doing and that we feel passionate about and we feel we can contribute to? If we're doing it just because we're trying to measure up to what we think someone else expects of us, oh, the burden will become greater and greater, and that's when the energy will be sucked out of you. At least in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like a lot of students listening can probably relate to that as well. Why do you think it's important that we efficiently deal with burnout, especially in the healthcare field?
Anytime we have challenges in a profession, we have to think about the consequences of them. If we've got a workforce, if you've got colleagues around you who are struggling to even show up to work, who are struggling to get their work done or making errors because they cannot focus, they have too many things on their mind, or they truly have some challenges that they're dealing with, it's one of those obvious things in healthcare in general is that safety can be at risk. And so patient safety, but also the worker's safety. Even think about what we do in the pharmacy sometimes. If you are just barely keeping your eyes open, you're in the IV room, you're compounding, you're pulling back on a syringe, whatever you're doing, and you're getting ready to use something that has a very sharp tip, you could easily actually inject yourself simply because you're not paying attention. You're not in the game. So though sometimes you think about it's affecting everybody else, but it actually can affect yourself too. And then the team process begins to suffer too, because we know we can't all take care of patients by ourselves. We all have a different part to play in the team. And when you've got someone who's struggling a little bit, there may be others who can step in and fill that void. But if they've been struggling for a while and are truly burned out, there's probably a bigger void that needs to be filled. And others may not be ready to step it right away in and handle it. And so it affects everybody, not just the person.
So how do you suggest we deal with burnout and handle it in a healthy way so that it's not a problem for our patients?
So how can you, quote, stay in the game, stay attached and engaged to what you're doing? I think it is some of those things that maybe happen for some people intuitively and not for others. Number one, we hear the terms all the time, practice self-care. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not always the best role model for this because I enjoy serving others. And so oftentimes I think, oh, caring for myself is taking care of others. But then I forget me. And so sometimes I need to use that same advice I give to other people. So having those mental mental breaks, having the opportunity to exercise, to go do something fun, forgetting work, forgetting school and putting it behind you, but not recklessly. So making sure I take care of myself, because, you know, there's all the cliches you hear, and certainly an easy one is you can't pour from an empty cup. If I really value pouring myself into others, I've got to have something to give to them. And so I've got to feed my soul first. I think, as we've talked a little bit about, normalizing where there are these challenges and these tendencies. So as students go out on rotations and they're learning what happens in a pharmacy and they're seeing firsthand and diving in and getting that hands-on experience, having the ability to hopefully have an honest conversation with the preceptor and ask them, hey, have you personally experienced this, or does someone in this field or in this practice area, you know, where are the tendencies to do that, and what has worked for you? Because they may have some great tips to share with you. And it may also prompt some further conversations where, as a student, you can build some really great bonds with your preceptor. Certainly the same thing goes with faculty members. I know sometimes we're scary and intimidating, but the reason we're here and why we get paid is because of people like you. It's because of the students. Otherwise, we would be a research institution or a healthcare system. We're not. We're a university where we do a number of things. So we want you to be healthy and be successful. And maybe we've got some experience to provide. Maybe you just need to be heard. And so oftentimes what we should think about, one of our best senses, if we're fortunate to have it, is the sense of hearing and listening, more importantly there. So giving you an opportunity to be heard. And so that doesn't mean that you should walk around with a poster on your back that says, I'm burned out, fix me. But it does mean that you shouldn't be scared of kind of talking about if you're having some of those challenges. As I've told some people today, yes, I'm on the struggle bus. I think I'm driving the struggle bus, but I'd rather be driving the struggle bus on a Monday afternoon than being a passenger. Why? Because if I'm driving, at least I have some control and I know where I'm going to take it. And I know there's still some things I can accomplish today. Maybe it's not the deepest dive into some things that are going to require 3 hours of my attention. Should I write a manuscript today? Maybe not. Maybe not the best use of my time. And it's kind of like as you're preparing for exams or other things too. If you find your mind wandering, you're falling asleep, those sorts of things, you're not effectively using your time, so you need to figure out what you can do, and maybe a little nap actually will be helpful. Maybe walking outside, maybe relocating for a little bit. I can tell you Friday afternoon, I did a walk around the building. I walked through the trial gardens. I just kind of took in a little bit of nature, and it was a great little mental break for me too on a fairly quiet Friday afternoon on campus. It was actually kind of nice.
I'd actually say talking to Dr. Hill Silcott, she also helped me. She was a great resource for me when I was in Athens. Now I'm in Augusta. But we sat together, organized a schedule, and we made sure to put in breaks, mental health breaks, you know, if it was just walking around my neighborhood or something. And I feel like that really helped me. So I definitely suggest something like that.
So Dean Smith, what really helps you?
All right. So here's an example. This is a funny one. So it's going to create this image in your mind. I'm fortunate to own my own home, and I have a yard in front and actually in behind with a lot of really mature tall trees. We're talking 30 to 40 feet tall trees, which means they're great for shade, but they also produce a lot of leaves and a lot of branches and twigs. Well, recently we had a little storm blow through the Athens area, which means I always know when that happens, things are going to fall. What have I done lately that people think, what's going on there? I have taken to just walking around my front yard and picking up sticks. Picking up sticks, you're thinking, oh my gosh, her life is so sad. But to me, then I've got my AirPods in, I can listen to music, I'm out getting some exposure to the sun. I'm doing something where I can look back and say, oh look, I had control of that little area. I fixed it up, and now I've been able to move that out of my yard. So when the city comes by to clean up the refuse, then there's a little pile for them to pick up. That is so tiny, and it can sound so sad, but it's really things like, oh, I have a sense of accomplishment, and I'm not nearly having to think as I am as a dean every day. Something very different. So slightly productive, but also slightly therapeutic, and hopefully not too weird.
No, that's a great, unique way, I feel like, to deal with it.
It's funny because I started to do this during the pandemic when it first started, and I've just kept doing it because I thought, oh, now that I'm here, I'm not traveling all the time. I'm the one who sees my yard, and I think, oh, my poor neighbors, they must have wondered, does she care about her yard? I do care, but I care about a lot of things, but it's just been nice to kind of have a little respite every now and then.
And you're still helping others. Like you said earlier on, where you like to help others and serve others, you're helping them by gathering them.
There you go. Thank you so much for that validation. See, but this is what we've been talking about. Why having validation when things are tough for you, being able to have a support system around you to do that and not feel judged. These are the kinds of things that are terribly important.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for highlighting those things. This last question is kind of bittersweet to me because my two partners here are about to leave me for fourth year rotation. So I'm about to cry, but I won't do that. I'll stay strong. So as the semester is winding down, so many of us are about to leave for rotation. I guess we're all just wondering, what are some encouragements that you can give to us? Like, what advice? And in the beginning, too, you were talking about reminding ourselves of the whys. How do you remind yourself of the whys? And how can we, like, take this with us?
Oh, this is an excellent point to consider here. There are times in pharmacy school, I can say, when I wondered, why am I learning this? Why am I doing this? Why are they making me fill in the blank? And I felt it would fill in the blank, whatever the topic of the day was. Because I just knew exactly what my career was going to be like. I knew where I was going to start, what I would be doing for the next 40 years of my life. I knew it. So the other stuff to me wasn't terribly important. I started to learn, though, throughout pharmacy school, maybe these faculty members know what they're talking about. Maybe they've got some street cred there that certainly provides some legitimacy to the things, because they do practice. They do see patients. They do actually explore new things that make a difference. Okay. So I started to pay attention, but I still was pretty tunnel vision in terms of some of the other things that I thought, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to need to know that. Well, I started my career as a clinical pharmacist in a particular area of the profession that very soon was disrupted by the development of the internet. No one saw the internet coming unless you were in the Department of Defense or other things. That was like, whoa, that was a game changer for me in terms of what I really enjoyed doing and why. And it started to give me pause for what I needed to do. But I started to draw upon other things I learned in pharmacy school and during residency that continued to round out my practice abilities and what I did. And before I knew it, I was using all sorts of stuff I learned in pharmacy school that I swore I would never need. Well, I eventually undertook kind of the mindset or the mantra that lifelong learning is indeed important, and that every day seemingly a new drug is on the market, or we learn something else down at the cellular or molecular level about the human body and how we can best yield that or engineer that to respond more effectively to treatments. So I started to, as I worked with our students at various points in my career, use the hashtag of always be learning, because you should always be learning. And so whether it's something you feel is directly available to you and suited to you or not, there's a reason for it. It still may be mysterious for a little while, but in the bigger picture, you're going to be able to learn from every situation. Whether it's like, I know I don't want to do this. Okay, but you learned that. Or I see that preceptor and I like what they're doing there. Maybe those are skills or activities I can model. Or I kind of like the way they handled that situation. Or I wonder why. Maybe I should ask them why. Sometimes the things you learn on rotations are not just therapeutic, but it's a lot of kind of the practicalities of navigating the profession. So if you can approach every day with you've learned something, then that's been a good day. Always keep that in mind and always be learning, and you're going to be moving forward. And at least if nothing else, you're driving your own bus.
Thank you so much, Dean Smith. That was very insightful. I know I'll be learning every day.
Do you have any like closing remarks or comments you want to make?
I know sometimes as students, you may feel as if I'm paying for this experience. What? But here again, there is learning involved in this process, I assure you. And so sometimes it's having trust in others is what gets you through as well. So know that we as faculty members have the best of intentions for you, and we appreciate the privilege and the privilege that you give us by trusting in us and guiding you into the future.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you taking out time to speak to us today.
Thank you so much, Dean Smith. We appreciate your time and tips. Shout out to our loyal listeners and any new ones we may have picked up along the way. We are so grateful for all of you. We hope y'all have a great summer, and we hope to see you again in the fall. Don't forget to check us out on the social media at UGA Farmcast 19 and let us know if you have any comments, questions, ideas, or feedback. And once again, stay awesome, stay healthy, stay safe, and go dogs.